and welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club podcast where, each week, three of us read up on a topic, then discuss it from geeky, nerdy perspectives. This week marks the end of Cycle X, meaning each one of our eight cast members hosted an episode. To end each cycle, we have a special geek news-centered episode called The Common Briefing Program, a relaxed episode format where we focus on current events in the nerd world, and all three of us bring different stories to the table. I am your host, Edward Ryan, and I'm joined by...
Hi, I'm Taimal Chowdhury, or Chowder. Whichever you prefer.
And I'm Hume Kodish, and I would like to say that that order was not discussed, and I should be going first.
Each of us will have a few minutes to mention what we believe are important, impactful, or interesting developments in our domains of geekdom, with open discussion amongst the group, before we end with our ratings section, in which we all vote for our favorite story and award a gold star to our best representative. Now that's the script, boys and girls. That's what the man wants me to read, okay? But here's what's really going down in this episode. We're just gonna have some sweet chill hangs, okay?
All right.
Just gonna hang out, talk about some stuff, because we're all friends here. Keenan's my friend, Tamul's my friend, and you, the listener, you're my friend.
Once again, you're putting me on the same level as other people, Mr. Ryan, and I'm not really appreciating that. I shouldn't just be your friend, is what I'm saying? Like a god or an overseer or... You know what? God is okay. I'm over with profit. I'll go as low as profit.
All right, why don't we... In the beginning, there was nothing, and then there was God. So why don't you start us off, Keenan? What have you brought to talk about today?
There was not God, there was me. Two, I would like to talk about how recently, in fact, very recently, I think it was yesterday.
If you steal my fucking story, I'm going to be pissed at you.
I mean, it's Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer.
Oh, that wasn't mine. All right, we're good.
All right, well, more information is coming out about the Red Dead Redemption 2, which is a sequel to the Rockstar game Red Dead Redemption, which was, you know, this very big Western game, open world action adventure type that made waves.
Grand Theft Pony.
I liked it better than the Grand Theft Auto games because I thought it had more of a story and I liked the protagonist better just in general. And recently they dropped a new trailer which, you know, featured more information than the previous one, which was just kind of a teaser.
Mm-hmm.
And this new trailer has a lot more information.
Definitely.
For now, it's confirmed that it is a prequel to Red Dead Redemption, which is exciting enough, frankly. And it's focusing heavily on the Dutch Vanderlyn gang, which was the gang that protagonist John Marston in the first Red Dead Redemption belonged to and was eventually, for reasons not fully specified, left for dead and then disillusioned with and left and then forced to go back at the pressuring / blackmail of government agents to dismantle and, you know, bring in the leaders.
And rain down his righteous fury upon.
Exactly. So it is confirmed that a lot of it is focusing on Dutch Vanderlyn, like I said, who was the leader of said Dutch Vanderlyn gang.
As you would assume.
I wouldn't have assumed that.
Yes, as you would assume, but I mean, it's called the Common Geeky Program, and my name isn't Common Geeking.
Well, it's also kind of like how the game's called Red Dead Redemption, but the main character isn't named Red Dead.
True, and he's not, I mean, he is redeemed, but that's more of an action, it's not a name.
Yeah, of course.
But either way, and it also shows a lot of characters, and they haven't focused on these other characters like Javier Escuela and Bill Williamson from the first game, but in the trailers you do see them walking around as part of the gang, and there's a lot of speculation on the story, and overall I just think it's developing into a very interesting game for right now.
Yeah, no, I definitely... Tumble, did you see the trailer as well, or have you not checked it out yet?
I've seen the trailer, yes.
Cool. I'm definitely really excited to find out, like, what the, you know, story is going to develop into when we actually get our hands on it.
Yeah.
And I assume we're going to find out, like, what happened right before the events of Red Dead Redemption, which will be pretty nice to learn.
Yeah, I know at the very least, we should be able to find out why John Marston left, because in the trailer, John Marston's in it, and like he is in the first game, Red Dead Redemption, he has like three scars on the side of his face. And in the Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer, he has those scars, however, they're freshly stitched. So perhaps we'll get to see how he got them, and perhaps we'll get to see the reason why he was left for dead and, you know, abandoned by Dutch Vanderlyn.
I agree.
Yeah. I'm also excited to see Dutch Vanderlyn's descent into madness, because in the trailer, he seems to have, like, tinges of, like, crazy, but not, like, full-on, I'm going to make a paradise in, you know, the wild, which was him in...
Yeah, well, that's another interesting thing, because Red Dead Redemption takes place, like, right at the end of, like, the, I guess, kind of like the Wild West, you know?
Yeah, it's set in 1911, and this one's set in 1899.
Yeah, so this, the West is going to be a little more wild, which will be, I think, really interesting. Maybe there'll be more, more like, gunfights and stuff like that.
That's true.
Not that there weren't enough in Red Dead Redemption. But, no, I'm also, like, having played Rockstar's last game, Grand Theft Auto V, that whole game, like, was about, like, doing, like, heists and stuff, and I don't want that to be what this game is about, but you're part of, like, a gang. I'm excited to do, like, a train robbery or something.
That would be fun, classic train robbery.
Or, like, hold up a bank or something, but, like, as cowboys.
But as cowboys.
So just like the stuff you were getting redemption for in the first game, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I want to...
If the first game was Red Dead Redemption, this game's just Red Dead Demption.
No, that's what I want. I want to play this game and then at the end of it be like, yeah, I'd probably need some redemption. That's probably what needs to occur. Like, that's how I want this game to go.
Well, I think just considering how much I like the story, because most of the time I don't like Rockstar stories. I don't really think there's a lot of grounding for me to get really involved in the story. But ever since Grand Theft Auto 5, I felt like that was... I felt like Grand Theft Auto 5 was a big improvement on the storytelling abilities.
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, of a display, at least, of the storytelling abilities of Rockstar. So the fact that they're going to make this game, which I already liked the story for Red Dead Redemption, the first one, so the second one now makes me excited, especially considering their recent success with story, that is.
Keenan, do you have other, like, stuff that you brought that you want to talk about? Just because we're at about the halfway point. If not, we can keep talking about Red Dead. I'm fine with that. I just want to make sure we're giving you time to talk about other stuff if you brought other stuff.
Yeah, the other thing I would like to talk about, just a bit for, like, a second, this is more like a personal gripe, and I'm kind of annoyed with, is with a lot of these memes about comparing Infinity War's box office to stuff. I mean, it just is like, oh, look how much money it's making. Well, of course it's making money. Like, that's just insane.
Oh, I haven't seen these.
No, you haven't seen, like, all these, you know, these articles and stuff going on and on about how much money Infinity War's making. It's like, well, of course it's making a whole bunch of money.
You said memes, not articles.
There's, like, a few memes. Yeah. And, like, you know, there's...
As it should. It was a good movie.
Yeah, but what I mean is, it's... I don't know. It just seems kind of silly to make a whole article about it. I mean, of course it's going to do well. If it didn't do well, that would be a more interesting story.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, even...
Than the fact that, oh, wait, you mean talking about the Avengers Infinity War, something that's been building up for the past, what, 10 years or some crap?
But, like, it's the magnitude of how well it did, you know? Like,
yeah, it's...
The same way Black Panther doing really well is something worth talking about, because...
No, Black Panther, yes.
That can shape the direction of the industry. So too can Infinity War, yeah.
And the other thing is, like, it's breaking all kinds of records and stuff.
True, but they keep comparing it to, like, things that I don't think are a good milestone for, like, how much money it made. Because it's like, oh, look, it made more money than Justice League's entire box office run in a week. I'm like, well, of course it did.
Oh, yeah, that's dumb.
Also, like...
I mean, it's understandable. Like, a single week in beating out the entire domestic product or whatever it was is pretty impressive.
I mean, yeah, but we could also say that...
No, I kind of agree with Keenan on that, that, like, I think, like, saying, like, oh, it broke this record or that record, or it beat Star Wars, which is, like, the biggest opening until now. I think that all is, like, worthwhile and, like, you know, makes sense to talk about. It just seems kind of, like, petty to be like, oh, look, it's so much better than Justice League, you know? Like,
I get that.
Like, I'm not saying, like, if like, you're just, like, people talking about it, that's fine, right? It's kind of funny. And I haven't seen whatever articles Keaton's talking about, so maybe they're meant to be comedic, I don't know. But, like, to, like, be, like, a film news site and be, like, reporting on that is, like, that just seems kind of petty, you know?
Yeah.
But, man, Infinity War was pretty good, guys.
It's really good.
It was good. but not really good.
Dude, that part where Hulk got in that giant tank and blew up the moon, I was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. I liked that part, too, especially when Hitler and Salvador Dali came on the scene.
That didn't happen. That wasn't part of the movie. I lied.
That was 100% part of the movie.
I did not expect a cameo from Salvador Dali's ghost, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was an interesting decision for them to decide the fate of the universe on a paintball game, but, you know, who am I to judge?
Yeah, well, that, I mean, you know, the power of the Infinity Gauntlet is very mysterious, you know, so.
Yeah, but what I was saying about, like, their comparisons is, like, okay, like, you're right, you are Marvel, make a shot at DC when it comes to that example. But also, last I checked, Justice League didn't, like, really break any major records?
No, it didn't.
No, Justice League, like, did incredibly poorly at the box office.
Yeah, so it feels weird to, like, be like, look how it beat this mediocre box office. I'm like, well, yeah, are you trying to... Is that, like, an actual legitimate... It's like, oh, look, it's beating Rampage already. I'm like, yes, of course it beat Rampage. Yeah, like, what did you expect? Yeah.
Yo, guys, I really want to see Rampage, though.
It's actually a pretty good movie, like...
Yeah, you checked it out?
Yeah, it's a good movie. No asterisks. It's a good video game movie.
I like The Rock. I like the game Rampage.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to have a fun time. It's a cheesy action movie.
Yeah, but should we comparing Infinity War to it?
All right, so we're right about nearing the end of that section. And I just want to say real quick, and then we'll go to Time Wool. Guys, go to the movie theater, okay? And maybe it won't be the same at whatever theater you go to, but I was at the theater in Poughkeepsie, and the Rampage poster was right next to the Skyscraper poster, and it's both The Rock next to, like, exploding buildings, and he's in both posters wearing, like, jeans and a white t-shirt.
And you were just like, that's one good movie looking good.
That's one singular film.
Like, how he was in the beginning of the movie, he was wearing almost the exact same getup as the one he wore in
San Andreas?
In that Jumanji movie.
Oh,
yeah.
In Jumanji, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So that, Keenan, you're great. Great stories. Love ya. Mwah. Time Wool, what do you want to talk about today, my mans?
All right. So, I wanted to talk about this Kickstarter that's, as of right now, is currently trying to get some funding, right? It's called Backbone.
I'm going to look this up while you talk.
It's this detective adventure game, right? You play as this detective in this neo-noir kind of city. And you're solving crimes, and if you played something like Machinarium, it's a bit like that, you know, you click on things and solve puzzles. But it also has, like, exploration elements, it's got, like, some stealth game stuff. It's working with a bunch of different kinds of gameplay styles. It's got this beautiful art style that's just, like, it's pixel art, but it has all this shading, all this wonderful art direction. It's very film noir.
Oh, wow, that is pretty.
Yeah, and also the main character is, like,
yeah, heads up,
a raccoon. Like, he's a raccoon detective. Probably should have opened with that.
There's also there's animal people everywhere. It seems.
Yeah, you know, I
can tell because all the signs are all related to animals, like Foxy Burger, Furman and Sons,
yeah,
Hoof Bank.
It says, unfold the mysteries of dystopian animal society inhabiting retrofuturistic Vancouver.
Yep, that probably better describes it than I did.
That is a lot of words.
Yeah, but, like, you know, in this world, everyone's like an animal person.
Or are they all a person animal?
Are they regular people is the question.
That's a mystery you'll find out. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Oh, it's a person. Ah!
But yeah, as of right now, which is May 3rd, it has made about $21,000 on Kickstarter. You know, so it's almost about halfway there. By the time this episode comes out, which is the 25th, right?
Hopefully.
It'll have 2 days left in its campaign.
Yeah, it'll have 2 days left in its campaign. It'll probably make the goal because
of us.
If you've been on Kickstarter long enough, you'll know that it's actually more of a zero-sum game. You either make none of the money you were trying to make, or you make all of it. Very rarely will it ever be like, we were almost there.
Yeah.
You know, so at the rate in which Backbone is making its money, probably gonna make its goal. And, you know, if you're listening to this episode on the day it comes out, give the Kickstarter a look, and you can maybe fund it and get yourself an early copy.
Hopefully what would happen is that there'll be a few days left and they won't be able to finish, but then people will hear this podcast and they'll donate.
Oh, they'll get the Common Geeking Program boon.
Exactly, the blessing of the Common Geeking Program. And then we will then be responsible for creating this, and we should really get a credit. I'm not saying like at the beginning of the game, but definitely towards the end. Like, special thanks.
Yeah, and we probably should get a percentage, too.
Yeah, definitely. Special thanks, Common Geeking Program. We owe you. You are our lifeblood. All hail, Keenan.
Yeah, just something like that, you know?
A little arrogant of us, but...
Whoa, it adds humble, if anything.
Yeah, that was pretty humble.
We didn't say opening credit sequence, fucking, like, title sequence. We want just something at the end, special thanks, Lord and Savior, King and Curtis. That's all I want, you know? Maybe a shrine.
Yeah, so, you know, just to elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah.
This looks like a very reliable Kickstarter. The people working on it have good backgrounds.
Good backbones.
In arts and music and...
game design, hopefully.
Yeah. They all have good backgrounds. They're making reasonable goals for themselves. And they break down, like, kind of what the money's going towards. Most of it, they estimate about 60%, 70%, is basically going to, like, paying them, making sure they can, like, survive as they, like, you know, make this game. And the rest goes taxes, Kickstarter, that kind of stuff. They already have most of the equipment, like the game engine and the art software.
Nice.
They're working from their own homes and stuff, so they don't really need, like, to pay for any kind of space. So, you know, between very reasonable stretch goals, very reasonable goals they're setting, this game looks like it's going to see the light of day, which, you know, with Kickstarter, it's not always a guarantee. But, like, they're not overpromising. They're doing a good job, so I feel confident in going, this is totally worth backing.
Nice.
Good. That's a good shout-out, Chowder. Heads up, backbone.
So it's got the Time Will Chowdery seal of approval.
Ding.
Yeah. Just so you know, when you search it, go down one.
Yeah, the first one's about, I Googled it, the first one's about like an app that helps your posture. Fuck that. You're playing video games. You don't need good posture.
Yeah, nerd.
Nerd.
Go be an orthopedist if you want posture, player.
All right, my man. Did you want to keep talking about Backbone, or was there something else you wanted to discuss?
The other thing I wanted to talk about was recently, and by recently, it's not going to be recent anymore, a trailer for this online web animation called Has-Been Hotel has been released. It's created by Bibzy Pop, who has done several really good animations before. It's this animation about, like, this sort of princess of hell trying to create a hotel so that the demons will try to reform themselves so that there isn't so much, like, death in hell, which, how does that work? You'll see, I guess.
Oh, I actually know this.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, it's got, like, this wonderful art style. The animation is very vibrant and expressive.
Yeah, very cartoony.
The voice acting sounds really nice, too. It's got a pretty big team behind it, you know, for something that's mostly going to be online. So, like, if you're interested in that, give that trailer a look. And if you're willing to, you can support them on their Patreon or Ko-fi. Their Patreon is / Vivian Medrano, and their Ko-fi is / Has-Been Hotel. We'll put links to their stuff in the descriptions and posts and stuff. Same goes for Backbone. So yeah, that's the two stuff I wanted to talk about.
All right.
I would like to talk about the success of Too Bad Waluigi Time has now, I've just been informed, completed their,
what's...
Yo, I actually backed Too Bad Waluigi Time as well, and, you know, I'm excited to get that, because, like...
What's Too Bad Waluigi Time?
It's a book.
It's, like, this comic that's, like, a follow-up to this webcomic series called Brawl in the Family. It takes, like, the characters of Nintendo, mostly the Kirby characters, and, you know, it does, like, a lot of funny jokes and stuff, and it's really funny, and it's one of my favorite webcomics, so...
And they're making a book about the comics of Waluigi.
Nice.
And it's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Especially, I like their promos for it.
Yeah.
Which were mostly Waluigi singing. Like, Waluigi Time, which is Waluigi singing an a cappella version of For the Longest Time.
Whoa.
As well as Waldemore, which is One Day More from Les Mis, but Waluigi singing every part. Really, it's art, and it's underappreciated by modern society. It's just so far above the little people's heads. Check out at least, you know, Waluigi Time if you can, and wait for the book to be, you know, released.
I kind of dig. Tenmo was like, hey, I'm going to just shout out this cool stuff that I've seen. So that's pretty dope. And that brings us right to the end of that little bit. So, hey, everybody, now it's me, Eddie. I'm going to talk about some stuff. I don't know that I want to follow up Tenmo because he's was like, oh, hey, there's cool stuff that people are doing, like art and skill and free time. And I'm going to talk about how Star Wars Battlefront 2 is now backwards compatible on the Xbox One. This is a huge moment.
Yeah,
okay,
boy.
All right, that's actually pretty. Listen, I'm not. I don't have an Xbox One, but that's pretty good.
I know not everyone has an Xbox One. Okay, and to the people who don't have an Xbox One, fucking fast forward because I'm going to talk about it for a little while. So, guys, Star Wars Battlefront 2 is a game that is fantastic. Okay, so it's Now let me preface real quick. For those of you that aren't in the know, there are two games called Star Wars Battlefront and Star Wars Battlefront 2 that came out in 2015 and 2017. Those are pieces of hot garbage. Those are not the games to which I'm referring.
Yeah, it's not complete garbage.
They're hot garbage.
You heard from Eddie, folks. Hot garbage.
And do you know why they're hot? Because they're on fire.
That's pretty hot.
Anyway, but those are a quote-unquote reboot.
Quote-unquote.
Of the Star Wars Battlefront series by, what is it, Pandemic Games?
I believe so.
That made the originals?
Yes. I'm pretty sure. I mean, we have technology.
Let me just make sure I'm not lying to the people.
The people.
To the people.
Yeah, Pandemic. Pandemic Studios.
My children.
So, the original Star Wars Battlefront games are very different. They're not like these first-person shooters, which are just focused on, like, multiplayer. Bad multiplayer, I might add.
Well, I thought they were third-person shooters.
No, I said they're not first-person. The new ones are first-person shooters.
Oh, are they? Oh, okay.
Yeah. The old ones are not.
Well, they can be first-person shooters.
And they are class-based shooters. So, there's a whole bunch of different, like, classes that you can pick from. So say you're playing as the Empire, there's the Stormtroopers, there's the Shock Troopers, which have, like, the heavy artillery, there's the Scout Troopers, there's the Engineers, there's the Imperial Pilots, there's a whole bunch of different classes, and each class has different weapons and abilities. This is a novel idea in gaming.
A novel idea!
It's something that, it's a type of game that I really like a lot, a class-based shooter, and we do have some, like, modern examples of class-based shooters, which are things like Overwatch, or a little bit older than that, Team Fortress 2.
So, real quick, in Star Wars Battlefront, which class lets you use, like, that riot baton that we see in Force Awakens and Last Jedi? You know, the one used by TR-8R?
There isn't a class that lets you use one of those.
Then what's the point?
I know. Well, here's the thing. You'd think, like, okay, well, at least we'll get that in, like, the reboot, because clearly that riot baton wasn't invented until, you know, Force Awakens. But no.
Then what's the point?
What's the point, right?
Wow.
No, the games are super cool. And the whole, it's also partially like a strategy game when you're playing, because there's a bunch of different, like, command points on the map, that you're fighting to take over the command points. So it's kind of like in Overwatch when you're doing, like, a capture the zone.
Right.
Except there's, like, six zones that you're trying to capture all across the map, and you can lose them and regain them.
And that's expanded by different play modes that actually let you, like, Galactic Conquest was a personal favorite, where multiple planets,
good.
So basically multiple maps, and you are on a ship, and you go in between places, and you actually end up fighting space battles as well, which is a feature that was unfortunately lost until recently with the new games.
Yeah, so that's another thing. The space combat, for the time, was leagues above any other, like, space combat or even, like, aerial combat games. It was, like, you know, full, like, 3D environments, and you could move in any direction. You can fly upside down or sideways, whatever. You had a lot of control over what you were doing. And the super cool part about it is the way the space battles would work is you'd have like a big like flagship, and so would the enemy. And then there'd be like smaller ships, like cruisers, and then there'd be fighters as well. And that's what you'd be piloting in the space battles, would be a fighter. So like an X-Wing or a Y-Wing or a TIE fighter. And what you're trying to do is destroy their cruisers and destroy their flagship.
Their life support.
And yeah, you want to destroy their life support, their, you know, want to destroy the bridge, all that stuff. So there's a bunch of different like objectives to complete while, and you also just want to kill enemy fighters while you're flying around. But one of the coolest things is you can, once you take their shields down, you can fly into the enemy hangar. In the space combat scenarios, land your ship in the enemy hangar, get out, now you're switched to the regular ground combat, and you can just fight dudes inside the enemy ship.
And it's way easier to destroy the life support system, because the life support system on the outside is underneath, so you have to use the torpedoes and not like the bombs, which have a certain arc to it. So it really, it's just...
Bombs arc
yeah,
down,
it's just,
yeah.
It's so much easier. And also, then you can just kill the people before they spawn again to the ships and be, you know, that scumbag.
You can spawn camp the rebels.
What I think we need to...
That's why the Empire lost in the movies. They didn't spawn
camp. Yeah, no, what I think...
So about like the backwards compatibility, you were...
Oh, yeah, let's let Keenan say his thing real quick.
I just want to say that, like, for other people who haven't played it and aren't a fan of Star Wars, you need to play it because the no longer canon campaign... For Star Wars Battlefront 2 was Story of the 501st, which...
Ah, the Story of the 501st. This means nothing to me.
Which was revived in part in media since the restructuring of the Star Wars canon. Was so good. You follow them from the Battle of Geonosis all the way to Battle of Yavin, I'm pretty sure. And it was so emotional. Yeah. I know that sounds really weird, but like I got really emotionally involved. There was a bunch of really good... They hired the guy who did the voice, who played Jango Fett, to do the voice. And it's just... You take all these different perspectives from the clones. And like I said, I got emotionally involved, especially them talking about Aayla Secura.
Yeah, like, oh man.
Teared up.
And the thing about it is you play as like the 501st clone battalion, yes, or whatever, or 501st Legion, whatever it was. And you play as them through their journey of like becoming the first stormtroopers, which is crazy. But the news part of the story is that it's now backwards compatible on Xbox One.
Wow, that's very exciting.
So till a month ago, you could only play this game if you still had a PlayStation 2 and a copy of it, or if you still had an original Xbox and a copy of it. You could also play it on Steam as well, but I know a lot of people, because the game, I don't know if it was out on PC when it released, but when the game came out, most people that played it on console. So that's kind of where you get like the nostalgia feel of it, is on console. It is a fantastic game. I just last night played a few hours of it, and it visually doesn't super hold up because it's from 2005, but man, the gameplay is still solid, dude. And I guess the main thing I want to say is, if you haven't played it and you have an Xbox, you should definitely go play it. It's $10. It's download.
So, you know, pause this podcast, go play the game.
No, don't do that. That's ridiculous. Who would suggest something like that?
We would, and I command it.
Get it? It's funny because I always do that. That's the joke. No, so
yeah, we won't wait this time.
No, seriously, I very highly recommend going and checking that game out. If you've got an Xbox, it's $10. If you have a computer, you can play it on Steam. Most people have a computer. You can play it on Steam. I don't know how much it is there, but I highly recommend it because it's doubtful they're gonna make games like that anymore. That genre is kind of gone. And I know I made some comparisons to Overwatch, which there are some similarities, but there's a lot of differences. It's not really, it doesn't play like Overwatch, just in like the structure of like the class based nature of it. It's similar to games like that. But the gameplay is very different. I think it's super worth checking out. And don't check out the recent reboots. Those are bad. But we've got a couple minutes left in my section, literally two. So I guess I'll also mention very briefly, because now all my news will be about the same thing, that Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind also recently became backwards compatible on Xbox One.
Lame.
So if you got an Xbox and you never checked that out and you're a fan of Skyrim, go check out Morrowind. That's also available on PC if you have a PC. And then I'll also let Keenan use my last couple minutes to make a quick talk about Infinity War. Guys, wasn't Infinity War really fucking sweet?
I fucking loved Infinity War.
That was,
man,
dope.
I wouldn't say...
Also, everyone's seen it by now. We don't have to worry about spoilers. He's...
You may want to beep bleep that one out. I don't know. Like,
no, everyone's seen it.
I wouldn't say really, really, really good. I would say that it was good.
I would say it's really
good. I'm just. I was talking
with. I'm gonna go see the second time this weekend.
I was talking with Chowder and Jeff the other day, and I'm just. I don't know. I was just getting. I'm getting kind of tired with like movies not. I really don't like when movies don't finish what they started. And so now that we have Infinity War,
I mean, we know there's another movie coming out next year. There's another
Avengers. Yeah, we know, but that's... I mean, we still have two movies to wait until we, like, acknowledge that. And that's still, like, that's kind of a bummer because right in the middle of this really interesting conversation...
I thought that the movie did finish when it started.
No, I mean, what... We're doing...
Thanos was the main character... You gotta shift your perspective. Thanos was the main character of Infinity War.
No, my point is... No.
He had a goal, he set out to complete it, and then he did the end.
I would say, though, that I agree with what you're saying. Like, it is technically a complete story. However, it's like having a conversation about Avengers, about a really important conversation... And then all of a sudden switching up to something that's totally not related to it seems. Because, like, I don't know how I'm supposed to care about Ant-Man. Because, like, I'm still thinking about, like, everything at the end of Infinity War. By the way, guys, a meme was just sent to me. And it was the Change My Mind guy desks meme. I'm not sure.
I love that meme.
It said Thanos did nothing wrong while he's being, like, torn to pieces.
Thanos did nothing wrong. Changed my mind. Oh my god. Alright guys, my time is up, which means all our time is up because we all went already. Guys, let's move on to the rating section. Thank you, representatives, for your contributions to our broadcast. Let's now determine whose stories were of the most import, impact, or interest, and vote for the winner of this week's Gold Star Student Award. That's clunky. It's clunky. And now, granted, I read it a little extra clunky, so it's not all the writing, it's a little me too.
I thought that all the stories we brought...
Oh, he's trying to do the podcast.
...are pretty interesting. so far. My only regret is, you know, I'm really excited about Backbone, actually. You know, I don't think I'll get it because I'm cheap. I don't like paying any money for anything. But I will definitely be excited and look out for it. And I always love when that kind of success happens to more independent. That ends up being some very interesting artwork and encourages more indie developers to come up.
I was thinking that this would be your kind of thing, considering how much you like The Wolf Among Us.
Wolf Among Us is a wonderful game, and they're gonna have a season 2 apparently, so I'm excited.
Oh, for real? Oh shit, that's awesome, because I like that game too.
Alright, that, Keenan, if that counted as a news story, I'd give you the award right now. Too bad we're out of that section.
Dang.
I know, you almost won it. I thought that every story had import, impact, and interest. I thought that they were all great, especially mine. But, well, I haven't, you know, obviously taken the time to look into them, so I don't know. I mean, I trust Timely, he's a trustworthy guy, but I don't know that, like, those projects are the best, because I personally haven't looked into them. I think it's really cool to, like, use the, you know, his time on the episode to talk about some, like, Kickstarter projects that he's really interested in, and that seems super cool. So, I liked what you brought today, Timely. A lot. And Keenan, I'm glad you brought up Red Dead Redemption 2 because I hadn't really discussed it with anyone yet, and I'm very excited. That game. It's a shame we have to wait till October, but it looks good. I'm glad we finally have a trailer.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like it's actually coming out.
I'm just glad they're not doing what other like games have done recently, in my opinion, which release a trailer and then a bunch of information and then make it feel like the game's about to come out. Like, I thought that Far Cry 5 was coming out...
Even though it's not, yeah.
Like, in a week for, like, 3 months because of how much information I was getting bombarded with.
They put out so much about that game.
And then I was like, oh, when's it coming out? They're like, oh, it's, like, later this year.
Any week now.
Coming out tomorrow. Don't lie to me.
Yeah, so, you know, you guys talked about stuff and,
Wow, excellent critique.
I'm sorry, but
fucking
like...
Fucking savage!
You did.
Yeah, you guys talked about stuff, definitely.
And, you know, like, Battlefront having Xbox One compatibility doesn't really matter to me because I don't have an Xbox One.
It's not about you, okay?
Yeah, but it has import to the people, Time Wolf.
Nah, but in all seriousness, I'm gonna have to give it to Keenan's Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer because I like cowboys. I'm really interested to see Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay, guys, so I think we all kind of made it clear, but let's just formally say, so Time Will, your favorite news story of the day was Keenan's Red Dead Redemption story.
Yep.
Keenan, your favorite news story was Backbone.
Yes.
All right, and I'm gonna give it to Backbone as well. So that means the Time Wool this time is getting the Gold Star Student Award.
Which is,
should I still name it something? Because yeah, it's the briefing program.
The Golden Newspaper.
All right, you get the Golden Trench Coat because that raccoon was wearing a trench coat.
Yeah.
Don't wear it. It's gold.
So how does it feel to...
to win a trench coat?
It's the greatest thing that ever happened in my life.
That's sad.
All right, well, we've rated ourselves. Now let's talk about you, listeners. Each cycle, we track people who engage with us online and enter them into a raffle, the winner of which gets to choose the topic for a future episode. We will now randomly select an entry, and the winner... Oh, am I supposed to do this right now? No one prepared me for this.
No. We've already randomly selected
it. Feels very rigged, I'll say it.
Oh wait, do you know who the winner is?
I know who the winner
or
is.
Or me.
Why didn't anyone tell me? I'm hosting this episode.
Got a point there, he is host.
We will now randomly select an entry. Drum roll please, gentlemen.
Drum roll, drum, 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 drum.
And the winner is... I'm spinning one of those ping pong ball things that they use for the lottery. I'm not really. And the winner is...
Wah!
Faith Yoy. I hope I'm saying that right.
Oh, snap.
Oh, shit. Who'd have guessed?
And we will reach out to you soon to plan your upcoming episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope the rest of you will get your chance to pick a future episode.
But we know what the episode's going to be about already.
Shut your goddamn whore mouth. Well, everybody, that about wraps it up. Thank you for listening to the Common Briefing Program. I'm your host, Edward Ryan, and you can find me in the wilds, starting a fire. Not like a forest fire, but like in a campfire. Sit down, grab a dog, roast it. We got marshmallows for after the sun sets. I appreciate you stopping by. Again, I've been joined by Keenan Kodish and Tamul Chowdhury. Where can the listeners find you guys?
In your darkest moments, you may be searching for truth, someone to help,
you still
perhaps
my,
a reason, and you may find me there, offering a kind hand. Kodish House, all hail Kodish.
You can just find me on Twitter, at Tamul Chowdhury. You can see how that's spelled in the description.
How mortal.
Yeah, guys, and if you're lost and you look, then you will find me. Time after time, on Twitter, at Fake Eddie Ryan.
Wait, is it at Fake Eddie Ryan?
At Fake Eddie Ryan, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. Our next episode is going to be hosted by...
me, Tamul Chowdhury. And yeah, that's going to be the viewer request episode that Monica won. And she has requested...
Don't tell them what it's about, because you're breaking continuity. They're going to edit it out, so...
and she has requested...
They're going to edit it out. Tumble, you're breaking continuity, okay? I'm sorry that the writers this season did a bad job, okay?
Black Panther, motherfuckers. We're doing Black Panther next episode.
Oh, man, I'm really excited to find out what Monica decided to request for the episode.
And if it's about Black Panther, what exactly about Black Panther?
So that'll be super interesting to learn about in the future.
Black Panther and diversity.
And by diversity, what do you mean about diversity?
So be sure to tune in next Friday. Friday. May... No. No, May will be over. One second.
It's not gonna be May.
Make sure to tune in next Friday, June the 1st, and follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Geeking Program. Any engagement, such as sharing a post, tagging us, or tweeting hashtag CGP, will enter you into our raffle to pick a future episode. Reviewing us on Apple Podcasts is a critical help to growing our show, and we'll read new reviews on the air. Anyways, thanks for listening, subscribing, sharing, and smashing that like button. And we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Be well.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Eddie Ryan, joined by Keenan Kodish and Taimul Chaudhary. This episode was sponsored by the Dwayne The Rock Johnson Cinematic Universe. Coming soon to a theater near you, the team-up you've all been waiting for, The Rockvengers. The movie where Dwayne The Rock Johnson from Jumanji, Dwayne The Rock Johnson from Skyscraper, Dwayne The Rock Johnson from Rampage, and Maui team up to stop the Scorpion King. This podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by Taimul Chaudhary, Jeff Levitt, and Jocelyn Parkenhagen, with original music by Colin Ketchin. Next week, we'll be talking about Black Panther and diversity, so be sure to read up on that. And thank you for listening to this podcast. Ciao!
We did it.
It's good enough.
All right, now I gotta read this script. I mean, talk off the cuff. Hello, and welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club Oh, man, they changed this. Okay, wait, hold up.
Oh, shit.
Let me restart.
It's ruined.
They changed it on me.
No, Colin's thing sucks. Don't have, just go off your own thing, man.
Wow.
No, I'm going to read Colin's
That's
thing.
Not recorded official shit. Damn.